Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again in the inner sanctum. Welcome to the Overtime Sports Show. I hope everybody's having a wonderful, wonderful week. You know, I don't pull no punches. Things are the way that they are. You know, when you have when you're trying to do this on the side and you have people, you know, people around us that are all, you know, they're busy. They have their jobs that they have to do. Big Sin is in charge of security. So he's not always readily available. You got to pick up the pieces, pick up the slack and keep it pushing for the squad. And that's what we do. You know, it's okay. It's no stress, no mess, no fuss. We're going to keep it rolling Overtime Sports Show style like we always do. So now, let's get right to it, y'all. Let's get right to it. Now, first things first. Normally, I come in, we talk about the NFL scores and all that stuff. We're going to get to that. We got another segment for that. We have the Fallout Show. We're going to do that. We're going to be right after this, I promise you. But before we get into any of that, and we're going to go directly into the Hollywood Report. So earlier this week, after the Sunday round of games and the Monday round of games, we found out that Texans head coach, now former head coach and former GM Bill O'Brien, has been let go by the Houston Texans. Now, I said it, and you can go back to the podcast, you can go back to the NFL preview. I even said that I'd be surprised, because the biggest thing that happened that Bill O'Brien did with the DeAndre Hopkins trade, I said, is going to end up costing him in the end. I said, this is going to be too much of a regression for the Texans to want to deal with, especially dealing with COVID already as it is. And I said, this was going to be too much. I said, Bill O'Brien is not going to be able to recover from this, especially if he doesn't win a game in the first 4 weeks of the season. And I was exactly right about that. He didn't win a game in the first 4 weeks of the season. And because of that, they let him go. Now, for those of you surprised by this, I mean, I can see why you're a little surprised by this. But you have to go over the numbers. You have to ask yourself, like, how did we get to this point? How did we get to the place where the Texans were on a team on the rise, and they drafted a quarterback, and they were just a few steps away from overtaking the AFC, especially now that Tom Brady was out of the AFC? How did we get from there to being the worst team in the AFC? How do we get to that point? It's actually simple and complicated at the same time. You see, let's start it. This is going to be our segment, our Hollywood Report, the curious case of Bill O'Brien. Now, For those of you that are unfamiliar with Bill O'Brien, for those of you that don't understand where he came from, how this works. So Bill O'Brien, he worked his way up the ranks in coaching. He started off at Brown as a tight ends coach, then went to the inside linebackers coach. Then he became a graduate assistant at Georgia Tech, running backs coach at Georgia Tech, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at Georgia Tech from 95 to 2002, all in that little spot. Then he was the running backs coach in Maryland for 2 years. Duke, the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for 2 years. The offensive assistant. He wasn't the offensive thing. He was just an offensive assistant in 2007 during the Patriots' mega run, as they say, the Randy Moss record-setting run. They have the New England Patriots 2008 wide receivers coach, quarterbacks coach in 2009-2010, offensive coordinator in 2011. So he was around that whole span with Moss and them, and you know, the undefeated season and all that. Then from that 2011 year where they lost to the Giants again, he went to Penn State. Everybody knows the 2012-2013 Penn State Nittany Lions. If I remember correctly, they were in the middle of their 4-year ban. It was the first and second season of the 4-year ban. So they weren't allowed to go to the postseason. So with that, that was just kind of a, you know, what was going to happen. And in my understanding, I think, if I remember correctly, Penn State only lost. Let me look it up. I don't want to give you semantics. So Penn State, they went 7-5 in 2013. And then if I remember 2012, yeah, they went 8-4. So – and it was, I think, the third or fourth year is when they actually kicked some butt. But this was past Bill O'Brien. So his 2012 and his 2013 year, along with the resume he had with the Patriots, so the recommendation of Bill Belichick, Bill O'Brien got himself a job at the Houston Texans head coach. And then the rest is history. Now, we can go over a lot because, look, let's go over the 2014 Houston Texans. So they went 9-7 in their first year, didn't make the playoffs under Bill O'Brien. Went 9-7, made the playoffs, lost to the Chiefs 30-0, got blanked. 2016, they won the wild card game 27-14 against the Raiders. Then lost the divisional round against the Patriots. And their quarterback around this time was, let's see, if I remember correctly, they had a weird little thing going. They had Tom Savage, Brock Osweiler, and Brandon Whedon. Those were their quarterbacks. I think Brandon Whedon, how did they make the playoffs? This is just insane. It was all, I don't even know. It was all bad. How did they make that? Brock Osweiler won in the playoff game. Because it was a weird, that was a weird ass game. You had Brock Osweiler versus Connor Cook. Because I remember Derek Carr got injured last game. And yeah, it was all bad. That was a trip. I remember that now. Jeez. So that was 2016. 2017, they was able to snag up Deshaun Watson with the number 12 pick. That thing landed on them. I think they were willing to just it was part of the Brock Osweiler thing. They were just willing to just leave things as they are. Deshaun Watson comes in, does his thing. And Deshaun Watson was that man. Deshaun Watson, they went 4-12. They struggled a little bit. They made some adjustments in the next year, 2018. Remember the 2018 season? They went 11-5. They won the AFC South, lost against the Colts 21-7. Okay. Young quarterback, it was what it was. That's 2018. 2019, they went 10-6, won the AFC South, beat the Bills, and lost to the Chiefs. That was last year. So we have a nice little resume for Bill O'Brien. He's only not made the playoffs, I think, two times out of the 6 years that they had him. And in old fashion, you know, in weird fashion, they had they had some scrubs. They had Tom Savage, Brian Hoyer, Brock Osweiler, TJ Yates. And I think Will Fuller got drafted in 2016. They never ever really found the running back after Arian Foster. It was a complete mess and a half in Houston. A complete mess and a half. Bill O'Brien came in. And he brought sort of kind of a winning culture. So we figured, like, this year, with as close as they came to beating the Chiefs, and with Tom Brady gone, the Texans were poised to overtake the Patriots as the number one team in the AFC. Or even the number one team, number two or three team, best team in the AFC, because you remember you still have Baltimore and you still had Kansas City. So they were on point. They were paced. It was like, okay, we're good to go. I think everything was looking up. Everything was fine. Everything was fine. And then our good old friend, after the owner passed away last year, they decided to make Bill O'Brien the GM. And the whole house of cards fell apart. Now, a lot of questionable things that he did, you know, questioning certain players. Bill O'Brien had all this power, all this unchecked power. But he had a short lease with this power, especially after they decided to trade their stud wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, trade him to Arizona for David Johnson. With that trade in and of itself, and I'm going to be here honest with you guys, like, with that trade, to me, it cemented the fact that they were just going to be trash for a while. They were just going to be who they were. And I think, and I'm trying to figure out why Bill O'Brien would do that. Why would you bet the farm? Career, put his career on the line to prove a point about DeAndre Hopkins. Was DeAndre Hopkins worth putting your career on the line? Was DeAndre Hopkins that bad and that to deal with that you said, you know what? I'd rather put my job on the line than deal with anybody else, than deal with this man. I'd rather be possibly be unemployed over DeAndre Hopkins. I might possibly get some people cut over DeAndre Hopkins. And I'm not sure if because he had the GM power where he said, you know what, I can actually do this. Maybe they didn't like DeAndre Hopkins. Who knows? Maybe they felt that DeAndre Hopkins was bigger than the team. Maybe that's how he felt. I don't know. I never felt that way about DeAndre Hopkins. I think that the Houston Texans ceiling was always going to be limited as far as if J.J. Watt played and the fact that they couldn't find a running back. I always thought that. I never thought about the fact that DeAndre Hopkins was a problem. That had never came up in any kind of conversation until a few days before the trade. And it's curious how that really came up because he said some disparaging marks about DeAndre Hopkins. And then next thing you know, your boy's out of town a couple days later. And you trade him for David Johnson, a couple draft picks, and you essentially put your job on the line. An all-pro first-teamer hands like pillows. You gave up probably one of the best receivers in the NFL for David Johnson. And like I said, after that, the house of cards came falling down. So let's look at the first four games of the season, shall we? Let's make ourselves a little determination to figure out where the hell did we go wrong. So we'll talk about their last game. We'll talk about their last three games. So their first four games. So against the Chiefs, they lost by 14. You can't. They had a hard time keeping up. 20-32. 253 touchdown, a touchdown and interception. David Johnson had that long run, but that was it. It was like a 70 some yard run, and then he went 10 carries for about 20 yards. That's just not gonna work. In game two against the Ravens, 17, they lost by 17. They couldn't get no offense going. And against that defense, you need to do something. Deshaun Watson, 25 for 36 for 275, one touchdown, one interception. David Johnson, 11 carries for 34 yards, only averaging 3.1 yards a carry. No running game whatsoever. Next, we have the Steelers game, which it was 28-21. Deshaun Watson, 19 to 27 for 264. Two touchdowns, an interception. David Johnson, 13 carries, 23 yards. They couldn't get anything going for him. Fourth game against the Vikings. Lost to the Vikings 31-23. They didn't get anything going. They were down 17-6 in the first half and barely can get no points on the board after that. They tried to mount a comeback. Didn't work. Deshaun Watson, 20-33. 300 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. David Johnson, 16 carries, 63 yards. 3.9 yard average. Meanwhile, DeAndre Hopkins is setting the world on fire in Arizona. He's doing his thing. You gotta love it. He's the kind of quarterback that can that'll scramble and find a way to use him well. He's happy to the point where he didn't even want to talk bad about his coach. You know, he's like, nah, you know what? I don't wish bad on no man. His mama raised him right. Listen. Shout out to DeAndre Hopkins because he's a better man than I am. He is. But Bill O'Brien trading away an all-pro receiver for David Johnson in a couple draft picks, not even a haul, but a couple draft picks, is literally the exact opposite of what the Cowboys did when they traded Herschel Walker for a boatload of draft picks. A team that was a sucker like Minnesota around then. That's not what happened in this case. The Texans got hosed in this trade mainly because no matter who you traded for, it wasn't going to reach the level of caliber for DeAndre Hopkins. The Cardinals had nobody to trade of that caliber, and yet they still was able to trade him a bunch of draft picks, and it's just a mess. So you have to kind of just ask yourself, why did he do this? Was it out of arrogance? This is pride getting away? Did he not get along with him so bad that you're just willing to send him out of town and destroy your entire team chemistry? And now with COVID happening, you really can't do shit. I'm sitting here shocked. I just don't know. It's the curious case of Bill O'Brien and why, when he has all that power, he was left unchecked to do as much damage as he can. And damage he did. He did a lot of damage. He practically destroyed a franchise in a matter of days. That's what we equated to. That's what I'm going to exactly equate it to. Getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins destroyed a franchise for a while. There is not a singular talent in the NFL draft right now that's going to give you the Andre Hopkins level of security and production. There's no one. Not anyone that you're high enough to be able to get either. That's the worst part. You're not going to get a pick that high to get somebody that good. Maybe this time around, but who knows? But you're going to spend them on a wide receiver? Is there a wide receiver in this draft that you spend a first-round pick on? I can't. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. But that's what makes it the curious case of Bill O'Brien, because at the end of the day, he destroyed a business relationship over petty personal reasons and probably destroyed a whole franchise because of it, or at least set them back for a few years. It's just wild. I'm sorry. You see me sitting here in shock, and I'm thinking to myself, how did they pull this off? How are they able to get away with this? And whose fault is it? So I'm going to go over that stuff real quick. As far as whose fault it is, we already know that it's Bill O'Brien's fault for not dropping the beef, not squashing the beef, not handling it like a man, and instead trading the guy. Second, whoever thought that, who scouted David Johnson and thought that he was going to be the solver of all of the Texans problems, has obviously not been paying attention to football. Especially at a time where Melvin Gordon was a free agent. They didn't even have to trade DeAndre Hopkins. They could have just picked up Melvin Gordon. And they didn't. They could have done a lot. And they didn't. Could have got Austin the Keeler in the draft. And they didn't. They could have waited for any of the 49ers running backs to become free agents. And they didn't. Instead, Bill O'Brien wanted smoke. He got smoke, and now he's fired. Bill O'Brien is, if I can be so kind as to say this, Bill O'Brien out GM'd himself. I think that's what happened. Sometimes we say with Bill Belichick, he outcoaches himself, and that's what causes all his problems. Well, Bill O'Brien out GM'd himself, thought he was getting a good deal, and ended up getting screwed in the end. This is sad. It's sad because he probably ruined a once-in-a-generational talent because he couldn't put together an offense to save his life. He's sitting here mad at Deshaun Watson's plays, calling audibles and doing scrambles and shit. Well, I've noticed that every time that he did that, the play had broken down into such a way that he really had no choice. And people are going to be like, oh, but he's supposed to be passing and stuff like that. No, he's supposed to be winning games, actually, by any means necessary. And I think that's what y'all forget sometimes, is that the man is human. He's got to do what he's got to do to survive. Same time, not helping him quarterback well is a killer. Hell, Lamar Jackson became a better quarterback in 3 years, and right now I believe he's a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson right now. Patrick Mahomes is on a whole nother level than everybody else. So what are we to say? What are we to do? I don't know, but I do tell you this. The next coach of the Houston Texans, Romeo Crennel, is taking over as interim. But whoever's taking over them next year is going to have a nice little draft pick haul. He's going to find a way to win. He's going to find a way to do what they need to do. But just make sure of one thing. Make sure that this is a lesson to everyone, that sometimes you got to check your ego at the door and work shit out for the betterment of the team. Otherwise, you end up like Bill O'Brien, getting rid of a good thing for a temporary thing, and then it's a wrap. This is a lesson. All right. So, everybody stay tuned in for part two. We're going to be going over the NFL games, in their entirety. Let's talk about it. So, roll to the next thing. Pay the bills. Bye-bye. All right. So, before we go on with the show, We gotta pay the bills, right? So today's show is sponsored by a good lady friend of mine named Yoshi, who runs a little Etsy shop. And if you're into that spooky shit, you know it's October. You know you got to get the little jewelry and the little spooky shit and all that. So if you do, if you're into that spooky shit, she definitely got a shop. It's called Dead Chicks Boutique. If you're watching the video, it's the website's right on the bottom. It's etsy.com/shop/DEADCHIIKS Boutique. If you go on there and enter Sinful Black Entertainment, you get 10% off of your order. So make sure you go on there, get your spooky shit. It's etsy.com/shop/dead CHIIKS BOUTIQUE boutique, and then Sinful Black ENT for 10% off of your order. Now, let's get to the NFL fallout. Did we mess up the fallout? I don't know what's going on. This is all bad. All right, let's just play the song, damn it. You know what it's time for. It's time to talk some NFL business. It's going down. Week 4 was a doozy. We gotta talk about it. A lot went down. A lot of craziness. A lot of things that we expected. A lot of things we unexpected. Let's get to it. All right, so for those that have been listening, living under a rock, we just finished up with week 4. We had a lot of drama in week 4, all coupled up with a little bit of coronavirus sprinkled on top, but a little bit of sauce, you know what I mean? And yeah, let me get to the second. I'm gonna pull up some. We gotta pull up some scores and everything else. Sorry, I should be a little bit more prepared, but normally my co-host is the one that handles this stuff. Let's see, okay, so I'm gonna run straight through it. Normally, me and him have a lot of banter, so I don't have my banter partner, bro. So I just gotta do it off the whim. So we just gonna get right to it. No BS, no muss, no fuss, right? So first game of the week, we already talked about Broncos Jets. Broncos handled the Jets. Your boy Rippin looking real, real nice. We're gonna see how that goes. Saints dispatched the Lions 35-29. We had picked the Lions because no Michael Thomas. They didn't look like they were going to be able to recover. But with a out-of-character game from Latavius Murray, we haven't heard that name in a minute. And Alvin Kamara, they decided to go straight to the ground, straight to the weakness of the Detroit Lions, and just run it. And that's how that went down. So shout out to the Saints for that one. I don't know if the Lions. Lions trying to come back and win this one. They don't have enough firepower. Matt Stafford throwing only 206 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a pick. They still ain't got a decent running back. Yes, I understand they got Adrian Peterson and DeAndre Swift, but they really don't have any running backs. Just point blank, period. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. All right, so now the Buccaneers beat the Chargers in a shootout. The Chargers were up 24-14 at the end of the first half, and the Bucs just came storming back. Justin Herbert looking good in victory. Looking good in defeat, I should say. Tom Brady pulled out 369 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. And even Ronald Jones ran 20 carries for 111 yards. The problem was that the defense couldn't stop anybody. I guess there's just not enough tape on Justin Herbert to just kind of make a big difference on this one. And I think that's what it comes down to. So shout out to the Buccaneers. Shout out to them doing their thing. The Bengals at home beat the Jaguars 33-25. I mean, it started out fairly even, 13-10 in the first half. Then the Bengals just came in and just stomped out. Gardner Minshew looking good, 351, two touchdowns, and a costly pick at the end, though. Joe Burrow threw for 300 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Joe Mixon, balls to the wall, 25 carries, 151 yards, 6 yards a carry. And my man's A.J. Green didn't get involved. One catch for 3 yards. He's just a non-factor. Collecting a big-ass paycheck is a non-factor. That's got to show you a lot of what's going down there. The Vikings beating the Texans 31-23. Vikings were in deep control of this game all the way through the running game of Dalvin Cook. Kirk Cousins not turning the ball over, 16-22, 260 and a touchdown. Thielen and Jefferson both went over 100 yards. It's a characteristic Vikings game. Deshaun Watson, 20-33, 300 yards, two touchdowns. David Johnson had 16 carries, 63 yards. And Will Fuller had a good game. But you could tell that this team is missing DeAndre Hopkins. They're missing that bang, bang, boom wide receiver. Even Brandon Cooks didn't have really much going on. And this defense has been suffering. Like, they've literally been suffering. Well, shout out to the Vikings on that one. The Seahawks beat the Dolphins 31-23. Seattle was in control of this game. Actually, they were controlling the game in the first half. They were up by eight. Miami making a close game. They tried to roar back, but Seattle, you know, put the gas to the pedal. Russell Wilson, 24-34, 360, two touchdowns, one interception. Chris Carson, 16 carries, 80 yards. DK Metcalf had a monster game. Fitzpatrick putting up 315 yards. Problem is he couldn't score a touchdown. No, not in the air. He scored it on the ground, so I mean, there's that, but that has to be concerning, especially when you have Devontae Parker, and Isaiah Ford as your receivers. You got to do something better than what you're doing, bro. Give me a second. The Browns dispatching to the Cowboys, which was the big shocker, they stomped them out. It was 31-14 in the first half. And then it became 41-14 by the end of the third quarter. Dallas tried to pull off the miraculous comeback, but it was to be left for drive because Duke Johnson ran the ball really well, better than Kareem Hunt did, and better than Chubb did. It was the Duke Johnson show. Baker Mayfield 19-30, 165, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Dak Prescott putting up 500 yards. He's put up 500 yards in two straight games. 41-58, 502, four touchdowns, an interception. It seems to me that the basic solution on beating the Cowboys, they're doing basically what the Jets did. Just get out in front early and dare Dak Prescott to come beat you. If they would have gained more time, it probably would have happened, but I don't see that happening. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, D. Schultz looking great. Gallup was trash. I don't know why anybody would have picked Michael Gallup, but it is what it is. Let's see. Let me go back here. Panthers beating the Cardinals. That one was a sort of kind of shocker. I thought the Cardinals was going to recover, but Teddy Bridgewater was looking nice and sweet. They really shut down Kyler Murray to the point where he was their leading rusher. At six carries, 78 yards. They basically put him in a box and dared him to beat him, and they couldn't. As simple as that. They held DeAndre Hopkins in check. He got a bunch of catches, but wasn't allowed to break free. Christian Kirk and Edmonds were allowed to break free. You know, Larry Fitzgerald just there. So that's just the way it goes. Shout out to the Cardinals. The Ravens beat the Washington football team 31-17 in the battle of the Maryland, whatever the hell's in Maryland. Shout out to the Ravens coming and handling business after they tried to say that they're doubters. They're retractors, detractors, as just to say. They had their issues, but Lamar Jackson came in, kicked some butt on the ground and in the air. Hollywood Brown. Four catches, 86 yards. They look like a good team. Washington, on the other hand, here's the interesting, the curious case of Washington. I know we had the curious case of Bill O'Brien, but this is the curious case of Washington. Dwayne Hoskins went 32 of 45, 314 yards. There's no running game's not existent. McLaurin is out there killing it. But the reality of the situation is that Hoskins not getting the ball in the end zone, and that's kind of where the problem really, really lies. He really needs to get the ball in the end zone. My understanding is that they benched him this week, and now that they're going with what's his name? Kyle Allen, who used to be on the Panthers last year. So Rams beat the Giants 17-9 in a non-exciting matchup. It was like, we didn't really much go on with that one. Bills beat the Raiders in a nice little shootout. I like that one, that Bills game. Josh Allen proving why he's right now, he's a better quarterback than Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. If it's statistics were a thing, that's what matters to you. He's proven it. Colts beat the Bears in another shocker. I thought Nick Foles was going to lead this team to the promised land, but Indianapolis and Phillip Rivers have other plans, and that defense is still stifling, shut down the whole block. Eagles beat the 49ers 25-20. I'm not sure how to feel about that one. That is a tough, tough, tough loss for us, especially given the position that we're in. Hopefully we can recover and sort things out and get back into our winning ways. The Chiefs beat the Patriots 26-10. The Cam Newton-less Chiefs. Without Cam Newton, they're a completely different team. Brian Hoyer could not get it into the end zone, which was kind of a sad deal. But Patrick Mahomes did get it into the end zone. What did he do? Yeah, he had two touchdowns, no interceptions. Jarrett Stidham was the only person that got that helped get a touchdown. So Stidham is apparently starting this week. Well, whatever they decide to play, because that's another problem in and of itself. And then finally, the Packers beating the Falcons on Monday Night Football. That one, I was not surprised at. I picked the Packers. The Falcons are just a team, a complete mess. Point blank, period. And Aaron Rodgers playing the best football of his life. Sometimes the things just right themselves, and they're that simple. And that's just what it is. But until then, we got to pay more bills. So holla at your boy. Pay the bills, damn it. Pay the bills. You know what it is. It's 10, 10, 20, 20. It is time for the NFL Rundown. Woo! That's my man, Big Sid, over there. I'm your boy, Hollywood J. Black. We are at week 5 of the NFL. We've had so much drama in the last 2-3 weeks. We've had action, we've had chaos, we've had COVID, and we've had memory loss. And that was just 3 days ago.
And we also had the biggest screw job since Montreal take place in Kansas City last week.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Well, we're gonna rant about all of that and more. We're gonna rant about all of that jazz. Everybody's like, the show's on, the show's on. Yes, the show's on. Welcome to that damn NFL show. That's what we're going to call this every time we do this Saturday night. What the hell's on that damn NFL show? If you keep broadcasting on Facebook and telling us that they're going live, you jackasses. Thank you.
All these weird groups are like, who the fuck are these people?
It's that damn NFL show that keeps popping up on our fucking timeline.
God damn it. But anyway, my name is Big Sin. I am joined by Hollywood J. Black. You pointed the wrong way, sir. You pointed that way when I'm over. Yeah. But oh, anyway.
You want to see my new magic trick? Oh, look at that. Oh, flip it. Oh.
So anyway, today has been Saturday. Earlier today, myself and Hollywood recorded 10. Yes, 10.
10.
Sinful Black Reacts videos for the next 2 weeks so I can get some rest. But we're not about that right now. What we're going to talk about here is that NFL show. So last week, I had a rough time. Hollywood had a mediocre time. I went 8-7. Hollywood went 10-5.
Yeah.
Bringing our season standings. I'm at 35-27-1. You're at 40-22-1. But we started off this week by taking an L because of senility was in the house in Chicago. Tom Brady acted like Brian Hoyer. Oh, it's fourth down when Brian Hoyer was like, oh, time out.
Yes, a superfluous L, ladies and gentlemen, as the Chicago Bears beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A little something to a little something else. I don't remember the damn score. I just remember one thing.
It was Bucks 19, Bears 20.
I just remember one thing, unlike Tom Brady did, is that he screwed up the last down of the game, okay?
And you know what I take away from this game?
What?
Khalil Mack hip-tossed an offensive lineman in one hand.
So when we ask ourselves this year, so remember last year around this season, Aaron Donald was outperforming Khalil Mack by a mile.
Yes, because Khalil Mack had no help. All his help was injured.
Now Khalil Mack is just, yeah, Khalil Macking everybody around.
Tom Brady did the smartest thing in the world, and that was laid down for Khalil Mack. He pulled the Kevin Nash. He was like, yeah, I'm not eating that. And after he laid down, Khalil Mack touched him. Offensive lineman was still pushing him. This man just said, whoop. Welcome to the NFL, Rook.
Poor kid.
Okay, so Tom Brady for getting fourth down is kind of funny because that means his coach ain't getting on him enough.
So I like to state for the record. So let's really express what happened here this Thursday. Tom Brady had some dude that was probably 3 weeks ago bagging groceries at the Publix grocery store. Okay. He had another dude that was probably doing college admissions at UCF down here previously as his wide receiver, along with a hobbled Mike Evans, a hobbled Gronkowski, and then OJ Howard out for the season. So I can't even tell you who his receivers were.
Yeah, Mr. Miller, who I think had the best game of the night.
Which, again, Mr. Miller was bagging groceries.
No, Mr. Miller has been on the Buccaneers for 5 years. He was Jameis Winston's number two target 3 years ago. Come on, man. Show the white man some respect, James.
I am showing him respect. Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to get a job at Publix out of here? Do you know how difficult that is? I'm giving him all the respect in the world. Joe Schmo could just walk to Publix and get a job. That's not how it works out here in Florida, okay? There's tests you have to go through.
Yeah, like COVID.
Yes.
And all these motherfuckers chilling on the beach getting that shit.
Nah, no. Hey, you know,
Tom Brady, there was a ball that Tom Brady threw that would have got them a first down because it was Mike Evans was wide open and Gronk just took it and got knocked down to get the fourth down. So that's kind of on Gronk too.
he has a performance incentive based contract.
Gronk is like, I can't let Kittle beat me.
Look at that.
And Mike Evans, you saw Mike Evans like, what the fuck? And Tom was just like, oh, Gronk, you silly old kidder. We'll get him our fourth down. Oh, wait, that was fourth down? Shit.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right, so Let's just get right into this week five. I am a tired, tired boy. Hollywood knows I ain't been sleeping right. And the thing he first asked me, are you tired, sir? Motherfucker, what the hell do you think?
The answer is maybe, okay? Maybe. The answer, unequivocally, undoubtedly, and indubitably, is maybe.
So we've had a couple of games rescheduled this week. For some reason, the Patriots are playing at 2 in the afternoon on a Monday. But we'll get to them later. It's still
going to be on national television. That's the worst part about this. It's still going to be televised and have commercials and all that.
All right, so let's just get it on. Let's talk about the first game of the weekend, the team that lost to the Cincinnati Bengals versus the team that hasn't beaten anybody and just fired their head coach. But yet ESPN said they're going with a more quarterback-friendly coach. But Romeo Crennel is their coach who can't teach a quarterback shit because he's a defensive coordinator.
He said a quarter. When I heard that shit, I'm like, a quarter? Are we watching the same coach?
I'm like, that is not Romeo Crennel. Crennel is one of Belichick's geniuses from defense from the early Super Bowl years.
I think they really thought Romeo Crennel was Charlie Weiss for a second. Because remember, Charlie Weiss had Brady Quinn looking like a goddamn Heisman Trophy winner in Notre Dame.
That's the funny thing. Weiss and Crennel both coached the Browns back-to-back. Then Weiss went to Notre Dame. Romeo Crennel just did whatever the fuck he's doing now.
Well, at least Charlie Weiss, at least he knows offense, and he just doesn't know defense. And
Romeo Crennel was a quarterbacks-minded coach.
You know what it is? It's because Romeo Crennel was the coach when Kelly Holcomb went for like 400 or 500 yards passing. I think that's what they're thinking, quarterback-friendly coach. You can't be a quarterback-friendly coach if you're everybody's quarterback-friendly when they play the early 2000s Bengals. Okay? Everybody is.
Kelly Smith.
Like the Bengals, remember the Bengals and the Browns combined for almost 100 points and like 1,200 yards of offense? You know what I'm saying? Like, it tripped me out. He said quarterback-friendly coach.
So, and then we have the Jaguars, who just lost to the fucking Bengals, just lost to 35-year-old Macaulay Culkin on his rookie contract.
You know who didn't lose to the Bengals? Doug Peterson.
My name is Doug Peterson, and we did not lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. But now it's okay if you do, because they won a game.
That's right. That's right. No, nobody. The Eagles did not want to be de-virginized by the Cincinnati Bengals. They just didn't. they didn't want to pop that cherry. Okay, like you know.
So what we have here is a failure to communicate when it comes to the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien should have been fired after he traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, yes, very much so.
I'm gonna say it one more time. He said working with DeAndre Hopkins was like working with Hernandez, who was a murderer.
Which was like, really? 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 Oh my fucking God.
And this is your GM and coach.
That's right. Whoever thought that this was a good idea to put Bill O'Brien as the GM? Could you imagine? I think this is how this conversation went. The GM gets let go. The owners are like, well, who do we get to be in charge of this team? We're on the cusp. We're just one or two small pieces away from being a Super Bowl team. And
let's
then
you go get a Belichick guy.
you see that picture? You know how Anthony Davis is peeking into the locker room? Have you seen that picture floating around the internet? That's Bill O'Brien coming in when he hears the conversation about the GM.
My old boss did it. Why can't I? Because you are Bubba Gump, motherfucker. That's why. You're taking a once-in-a-generational talent at quarterback in Deshaun Watson and turning him into the Brooklyn Brawler this year. He is a fucking jobber this year.
All right, so here you go. You ready for this one? This Thursday game should have been the perfect, like the perfect blueprint on what happens when you take away somebody's number one target. Okay, This Buccaneers game is pretty much defined. Why did Bill O'Brien not know? Matter of fact, he's been watching.
He knew. That's the thing. He knew.
Why did he try to sabotage his own team?
J.J. Watt actually came out this week and was talking about players been arguing with Bill O'Brien since the trade.
Yeah, because it was a stupid fucking idiot. That's why. Dude, listen. Listen. All right. So, let me put this into a perspective that maybe some of you people out there know. Okay? Let's say you have a child, okay? You've claimed your child on your taxes, and your child has guaranteed you $3,500 back on your taxes, okay? You trading that child from your taxes for that $3,500 that you get every year for $1,200 and money to be named later under $500 and let somebody else have that deduction, that is the equivalent of what happened. Okay, when they gave away DeAndre Hopkins for a broken running back and considerations to be named later, they didn't even get a first rounder for him. They didn't even get a second rounder for him. That's what really trips me out. They got a third in David Johnson. Oh, my fucking God.
But that can of Pringles, Bill O'Brien stuck his dick in during the season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a crunchy can right there.
And can of Pringles lasted longer than Bill O'Brien did this year. So there's that.
And now we got the Jacksonville Jaguars. They started off really good. Now they look really bad.
So this is the curious case. Oh, and make sure if you just got to this point while you're watching live, make sure you watch the podcast because we got the curious case of Bill O'Brien. I did a whole expose on the Bill O'Brien saga. So make sure you please watch that or listen to it on the show, okay? Aside from that, you're right. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who Gardner Minshew is – the only bright spot on this Jacksonville Jaguars is Gardner Minshew.
Well, it's because he has no offense.
But
they got rid of everybody.
And he still is able to put up almost 300 yards a game.
Yeah, and how do you get rid of everybody and their cousins and their junior cousins and their second baby mamas?
And Gardner Minshew still looks like a halfway decent quarterback.
You know why? Because Gardner Minshew steps on all their baby mamas.
Even if that happened, Gardner Minshew is still looking like one hell of a quarterback. Okay? There's no excuse for the rest of the fucking team. Gardner Minshew is literally the only reason why Jacksonville has been in the games that they've been in. Okay? And yeah, he's young. He made a couple of mistakes. Big fucking whoop. But guarantees you take out Gardner Minshew and put in Blake Bortles, this team is the worst team in the NFL by a mile. You know what I'm saying? By a mile. It's not even close. When the Bengals came in, they were a significantly better team than the Jaguars outside of Gardner Minshew. Okay? They had established defense, established O-line, established running game, established receiving core, and a young quarterback that gives zero fucks about slinging a damn ball. What does Jacksonville have? A young quarterback that doesn't give a damn about slinging a damn ball and nobody else. You put Gardner Minshew on the Bears right now, the Bears would be undefeated. They wouldn't even have that loss on their record. Hell, you put Gardner Minshew on the Giants right now. Yes, the goddamn fucking Giants. And they'd be the kings of the NFC East with a 2-2 record. Oh.
Fucking Philadelphia, the fucking golden trash bag on the trash heap and shit. Fucking 1-2-1. That's why they're in first place, because of a goddamn tie. So they're not losing to Cincinnati is the fucking difference there.
It came to us and said, it smells like bitch in here. Oh, talking to the rest of the NFC East.
So in this matchup, I have to go with the Houston Texans. I think they're going to be like, hey, Bill's gone. Let's actually play some fucking football.
Yeah, I think that – is Doug Marrone still the coach of Jacksonville?
Yes.
You can't even blame Doug Marrone.
No. Remember, he got fired last year. Well, who's the young dude.
Oh, so his job is secure. Whoever's the GM of the Jacksonville Jaguars needs to be fired.
Isn't that Tony Khan?
No. Some dude. It's a dude he replaced. What's his name?
Oh, David Caldwell is the GM of the Jaguars.
And he's not a bad GM, but he couldn't get anybody to come to Jacksonville as a free agent. Remember we did this in the NFL preview? He got no one as a free agent to come.
Oh, it is still Doug Marrone. Okay.
Doug Marrone has put up one hell of a job, but David Caldwell couldn't convince anyone to come to Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah, that's because of Tom Coughlin.
Yeah. So, but, we already knew that was – David Caldwell is a respected executive, you know, in the NFL. And if he couldn't get anybody to come to Jacksonville, that doesn't bode well for anybody's prospects there.
There was some stank on that team.
The only saving grace is Gardner Minshew. They have no running game, or barely a running game. Houston's going to win this one. It's going to be a shootout, though, because, listen, Houston's got fucking problems. Let's not make no mistake about that shit. You want to call a spade a spade? Let's call a spade a spade.
So, yeah, they just have the better quarterback. That's all they have.
The better and more experienced quarterback. Houston's in the same position as Jacksonville, except they got fucking Deshaun Watson and maybe Will Fuller.
And J.J. Watt.
And J.J. Watt. That's it. I mean – you can't name nobody else on Jacksonville because is it AJ Bouye? He's not playing there no more. The dudes, they're really good people, said, nah, we fucked this COVID shit, nigga. We out.
And Jalen Ramsey over in fucking in the Rams getting in fights with Golden Tate because he left his fucking girlfriend and shit.
Yeah. Like bro, like.
So we both got the Texans in this one?
Yeah, easily. By my mind.
Next up, I think this is going to be another unanimous pick. By both of us, we have the now 1-2-1 Cincinnati Bengals heading to Baltimore.
Listen, do not be surprised. Do not be surprised. And The Rock means do not be surprised if Cincinnati puts up a fight and still loses by 21. Oh, my bad. Sorry.
So I said this to my boy, the 49ers fan, and he agreed with me on this. I say this, and I want to say it with the caveat, okay?
Okay.
So right now, in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens have the best receiving tight end in the NFL. Receiving.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews is a fucking monster, and he's been a problem this year.
Mm.
Now, I don't say all around. I think George Kittle is still the best all-around tight end in the NFL because he actually blocks. Mark Andrews does not block.
Yeah.
Mark Andrews is Jimmy Graham to Rob Gronkowski. That's what this is.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's Lamar Jackson's favorite fucking target in the red zone.
Yeah, easily. The problem that Baltimore has had this year, and I don't think it's really going to affect them in this game at all.
It wasn't a problem. All they did was run into the Chiefs. That was their only problem.
Well, no, it's running game consistency. If you're supposed to go with Mark Ingram all the way, okay? Like you got to go. They've been switching between Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards and a couple other dudes and running weird ass formations. The reality is that in San Francisco, the offense that worked with Colin Kaepernick, which is the exact same offense that they're running in Baltimore because it's the same offensive coordinator, same plays and everything. We've seen them all. The difference is that as a lead back, Frank Gore did everything. They're not giving Mark Ingram the same opportunities this year as they gave him last year. Into the season, but the signs that tell things then will be the same signs that tell things now. And right now, that's one of my main concerns. Again, it's not a problem in this game because I don't think they'll be in this game. I don't think Cincinnati will be in this game long enough to make too much of a difference. I think
it's a double-digit win for the Ravens.
Yeah, easily. But be careful. There's the problem we talked about. Just said it. Well, next few weeks, watch out. This running game is a problem. It's not looking good. I mean, Lamar Jackson is always going to be the king of running that ball, but you didn't sign Mark Ingram paying $10, $15 million a year to be a backup to Gus Edwards.
Yeah, and I think it's still – the injury that ended Mark Ingram's season last year in the playoffs, I think it's still probably bothering him.
Yeah, well, he's still, you can't, then don't have him out there. You know exactly. what I'm saying? You know, don't sacrifice him.
All right. So next up we have, and I called this one last week, you said the Falcons were going to blow a lead. I said they would never have the lead, and I was right. We have the Carolina Panthers at the resurgent Carolina Panthers. Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater looking really good over there.
Yeah.
At the Atlanta Falcons, who are just hot ass trash.
So the Atlanta Falcons have the worst pass defense in the NFL. Even more so, have the worst pass defense in the second half in the NFL.
Next to the Cowboys.
And they have a defensive-minded coach. And they have a very defensive-minded defense of coaching staff.
So I asked this question last week, and I'm going to ask it again.
Mm-hmm.
If they say they get up by 10 to 15 again, they blow this game, would this be the game that Dan Quinn gets fired after?
If Dan Quinn – listen, the Carolina can blow them out without even letting them in. And Dan Quinn – I think this is Dan Quinn's last stand this week. I said this – remember I said this with Bill O'Brien right before he got fired, the week before he got fired. I said, this might be it for Bill O'Brien, bro. I said, I don't see him. If he loses this game, I don't see him lasting the rest of the season. And that's kind of – and that's the same feeling that I'm getting with Dan Quinn. What do you say? What can you say that –
You've had double-digit leads in all but one game this year.
Uh-huh.
And you have a star-studded receiving core, a – quarterback who on any other team would probably have a Super Bowl by now.
Yeah.
A defense that looks good but is trash.
Yeah.
And a special teams that doesn't know the rules of an onside kick.
Well, remember last year, Atlanta went roughshod through the NFC West at the end of the year. So remember, they started out the season 1-7.
Yeah, and they almost made the playoffs.
Almost made the damn playoffs.
It's the Atlanta Falcons team. This Atlanta Falcons team is not going to do that.
Which is sad because you would thought they would have learned something. They got better at running back, okay? They should have kept Devontae Freeman, but that's another story for another day. Like, if you had Gurley and Freeman, remember we talked about this. Gurley and Freeman would have made a hell of a two-headed monster, and they fucked that up.
Yeah, because Todd Gurley is actually running like his legs are not bothering him right now.
Yeah, but they also need – you know, Atlanta's been good with two running backs. They've always been that way.
They're known for that thunder and lightning duo back there.
Yeah, and they're fucking it up. They're fucking it up.
In Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater and Robbie Anderson have gelled, say the least.
Yeah. I'm still surprised that Carolina's winning games without Christian McCaffrey, or at least being competitive.
Okay. So I have a resolution for this for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Trade Christian McCaffrey to the Patriots for a 12th round 2096 draft pick.
No, they got to trade him for an actual draft pick, so it has to be at the most the 7th round.
Okay.
7th round. Christian McCaffrey at least deserves a 7th round pick.
You're right.
By the New England
Patriots. You know what Bill Belichick will do to him? He'll take one of those open butterscotch candies in his pocket and give it to him.
Here you go. We really, really like Christian McCaffrey. We think that he is an excellent football player. We want to make you the deal of a lifetime. So we want to give you a 7th round draft pick in the 2027 NFL draft and get this wait and a bag of Werther's original.
Sold. Sold. That's if Bill O'Brien was our head coach. But anyway, we just here when it comes to Bill Belichick because he had made some trades that nobody knows how the fuck he does them. I think the Carolina Panthers win this game.
Yeah.
I think this is Dan Quinn's last game as the Falcons head coach.
Yeah, this is a wrap. I'm sorry. It's a wrap. He'll get fired by the time he gets back to the damn locker room. Arthur Blank's going to be like, nah, cuz, get the fuck out of here.
You're going to run back like this? You're fired.
Bum, 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 bum.
Or is he up in there bullying the owner like Mike Singletary used to do to the 49ers?
Yes.
It's my job, motherfucker. Looking like Devo and shit. All right, so next up, we have another blowout in the making. Because one team can't defend the run or the pass because of injuries. It's the Las Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, but here's the problem. So remember, this is one of those division games. And we all know how division games go. You don't really know how they're going to go. That's kind of what the dealio is. And so this particular one, I don't know. Raiders look tough. Kansas City's at home.
The Raiders look tough in week one and week two.
And allegedly, Kansas City
Stadium. Yeah, they played non-competition in week one and week two.
Allegedly, Kansas City Stadium is going to be at half capacity this week. Allegedly. We haven't got the full green light on it, but allegedly.
I just want to hear how you're going to bullshit a chance for the Raiders here. I just want to hear this.
No, I'm not. I can't. What are you talking about? I didn't say that.
That's how it sounded. Like you're going to try and bullshit that there's a chance the Raiders win this game. The only chance the Raiders have at this game is firing the GM directly after.
I just said that it is a division game. That's it.
Usually leads to, so it's got to be tougher. No, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to run track meets on this fucking team this week.
No.
The Raiders' second best defensive lineman contracted COVID. He is out. He is not playing this week either. So.
It'll probably be closer than we think, if you want to be dead honest. It'll probably be 34-21.
So are you taking the Raiders?
No, Chiefs.
What if I give you the Raiders plus 10?
Oh, hell no. Still take the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs, too. The NFL's new golden boy has been tested 7 times for COVID since the Patriots game. Because let's get something straight. And I'm going to say this because we didn't do it. I was a part of the week 4 right now because I was tired. Mm-hmm. If Patrick Mahomes would have came down with COVID, that Patriots-Chiefs game last week would have been set to week 18. And it's not even week 18. Tell me I'm wrong.
We'll just make it up as we go along. Fuck it.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong, sir, at all. You're not wrong at all. You're not wrong.
And the reason he's been tested 7 times is because his dumbass went and hugged Stephon Gilmore after the game.
It was a well-deserved hug, okay?
It was. Because the Patriots defense played that team the best you can fucking play that team without getting blown out.
It was just a hug. He just wanted to be like, come here.
All right, so we're both taking the Chiefs here. Next up, we have the faltering. The faltering, and I know James likes that word when it comes to this team. Arizona Cardinals at the Injury Dome. The New York Jets.
Oh, God. Everybody's going down with injuries now. The Injury Dome. Welcome to the Injury Dome.
Is this where Mark Henry used to put people? Is this the Hall of Pain? Is that what the New York Jets Stadium is? It's no longer MetLife. It's the Hall of Pain.
Imagine that, a Hall of Pain Stadium. I would love a stadium to be called Hall of Pain Stadium.
And it would be MetLife Stadium.
where you just have some of the most vicious looking hits and statues or surrounding the stadium, the Pepper Johnson hit on Joe Montana, the Lawrence Taylor hit on Ron Jaworski, you know, say just things like that that just make you say, God damn, what the fuck, God, ah.
So in injury news, the Jets have activated Le'Veon Bell for this game just so he can go out there and hurt himself again.
Yeah, pretty much. I
and I don't even think Sam Darnold's playing either.
No,
I think he's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt, I believe. The Cardinals are gonna win, but everybody's gonna get hurt.
If the Cardinals lose this game, their season is done.
Yeah, especially in the NFC West. Dude, you gotta go
with the way the Rams and Seahawks are playing.
Uh huh.
You got to go 13-3, and they're not winning all of their division games. So sorry.
So we're both taking the Cardinals on this one, even though they fucked us last week.
Yes, yes, fucking fuckers, fucked.
All right, next up we have a team that shouldn't have won their game last week, but did win their game last week against a team whose game last week was canceled and rescheduled. We have, I know James is going to just put his head down and cry on this one, the Philadelphia Eagles at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ooh, Battle of Pennsylvania in the Steelers.
And the Eagles are still trash. Don't let that bullshit game from last Sunday night give Philadelphia any hope.
Oh, no. So if 49ers were playing with all their starters, the game would have been a blowout very easily without question. A lot of people got hurt in that game, and we still ended up only losing by, what, 4 points or some shit like that.
So I mean, you lost Bosa 2 weeks ago, and then you lose the guy that you guys signed to take Bosa's position for the rest of the season now.
Yeah, your
left end is just cursed.
Yeah. God damn. Pittsburgh is the hot team. Philadelphia looks like they're going to die. It's just really fairly simple.
Carson Wentz is a bad quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Pittsburgh is looking like a team on fire. They've been itching to hit somebody because they didn't get the chance to play last week. I'm taking the Steelers in this one.
Yeah, I'm going with the Steelers also. You know why? Because fuck the Eagles.
FTE, FTE, FTE.
So FT NFC East. Speaking of the FT NFC East, this week we probably have another blowout on our hands. We have the LA Rams at the now Kyle Allen-led Washington football team.
I feel bad for Kyle Allen because, all right, listen.
But his buddy, even though he's getting cancer treatments, is like, yes, I'm going to start you. Please put the injection in.
Listen, Linda.
Linda, listen. Hey, that's the second time we've used that reference today.
The Washington football team is going against the toughest defense with the toughest quarterback matchup in the NFL. I would have just kept Hoskins in at this point.
Well, apparently, Haskins is acting like Jamarcus Russell from what the reports are.
Yes, disparage the guy's name because he wants to just play football without pressure. Dwayne Haskins has not actually been bad this year. He's actually been
he's put up better numbers than quite a few of the other starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
But the leash is shorter because of Ron Rivera and the fact that every news media outlet is trying to convince you that Dwayne Haskins isn't worth it. But yet you tell me how every media outlet was telling the Giants to draft Dwayne Haskins.
All right, so we're talking about a football team whose name was taken away because it's racist, benching a black quarterback for a white quarterback when the black quarterback has really done nothing wrong. He's just young, and it's the NFL.
Welcome to the Washington football team, ladies and gentlemen.
By this point, I believe Alex Smith might be starting by week 10.
Shit, at this point, they keep fucking around. Poor Ron Rivera is not going to be on the team no more, and it's going to be all bad. I'm taking the team that is not the Philadelphia. I mean, the team that is not the Washington football team.
So the LA Rams have found their swagger again. Mm-hmm. But this time they're not overpaying for it.
No. No, but they're not overpaying for it because they're still paying Blake Bortles, unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness. But Jared Goff, like we said, 3 years in the system is when a quarterback usually clicks with their offense. And here we are. Jared Goff is putting up numbers like when he went to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, yeah. The Rams are a tougher matchup than they were last year, that's for sure. Yep. They brought the fear back that they used to have a couple years ago. But they are playing the Washington football team.
So it's going to be like a 30-point blowout.
Yeah, so nobody's concerned about them playing Washington.
The only thing that concerns me is Chase Young getting to Jared Goff. But I think Goff has enough arm now to get it out there before he fucking gets there. So next up we have Everybody thought this was going to be the game that Tua Tagovailoa was going to start, but now he's on the injured reserve list because he's still hurt from college. As the Miami Dolphins take on the San Francisco 49ers, the return of Jimmy G and Raheem Mostert.
Yes. And very angry Jimmy G. He's heard all the doubters. Oh, Nick Mullins is a better quarterback. We really don't like
Wait, wait. You were praising Nick Mullins 2 weeks ago.
I was, but Nick Mullins is not a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. What the fuck?
I think Nick Mullins belongs to Brian Hoyer on that 33rd NFL team that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, see, Nick Mullins is great. Don't get me wrong, okay? And Nick Mullins is going to make some team happy one day.
But CJ Behard, the ginger with the long hair, came in and almost beat the Philadelphia Eagles. And if it wasn't for it, if you watch that last Hail Mary or that last touchdown pass that got knocked in the air, if you watch that replay in slow motion, Deebo Samuel had the ball was going right to him, and George Kittle stuck his hand up there to try and snatch it. If it wasn't for George Kittle's hand, you guys might have won that game.
You might have. John is in the building. He says,
of course that fucker shows up when the 49ers pop up.
He says, Mullins can't see linebackers.
He ain't wrong.
I mean, all Kyler Murray sees is linebackers. So it's
all Kyler Murray sees is the back end of his offensive line because he can't see over the motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, you see the linebackers. That's how he knows. That's the thing with Kyler Murray. He sees the front seven. He doesn't see the other four. I'm sorry. This is just what it is.
Nick Mullins threw an interception that was so blatant to a fucking Canadian Football League reject against the Eagles. Oh, sorry.
That hurt my feelings only 22%. Only 22%.
I was at that man's house. I watched that man just give up on life during that game.
I thought we were going to win. I was talking big shit. I was like, it smelled like bitch in here, talking about Philadelphia Eagles fans. And
the smell just so happened to be coming from the 49ers locker room.
It said, bitch, be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
I think with the return of Raheem Mostert and Jimmy G, yes, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to have a big game here. We've talked about this. Ryan Fitzpatrick is giving you 300 yards, 5 interceptions, 400 yards, 2 interceptions, and 2 touchdowns, or 500 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception. There's no in-between between those numbers with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is he's gonna have a above average game, I think, in this one because of our lack of defensive options. However, I think Jimmy G and Raheem Mostert and that running game takes advantage of everyone, fondles them a little bit, you know, takes them to the back of the stadium, slips a little Mickey in their shit, you know what I'm saying? Here you go, and yada da mean. And
I mean, I would not be surprised if it's a close game. Because Miami's defense is still working itself out.
Yeah.
So it could be a close game. I wouldn't be surprised at it, but I would also not be surprised if the 49ers win by 15 or more.
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy G's, I told you, he's coming to prove his doubters wrong. No question.
He's coming like, Mullins, you white Asian-looking motherfucker, go sit down.
Yeah.
Hard, take your goddamn ginger hair and go somewhere, okay?
Yeah, but John says Miami secondary is week two. I wholeheartedly agree on that one. That's why this is a perfect game for Jimmy G to come back for. All right.
You want to talk about – so I'm picking the 49ers. I know you are.
Oh, of course.
So now we're going to talk about another weak-ass defense. Is this the week the New York Giants put up some offense? Because they are taking on the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, boy. If this wasn't a fucking trap game.
What used to be a marquee matchup.
Is now a trap game for Dallas.
How do you call it a trap game when they're 1-3? That's not a trap, dog. They are both the Giants are 0-4, the Cowboys are 1-3. It's not a trap game. It's two trash teams playing each other.
No, because on paper, Dallas should be able to come in and mollywop these bitch ass motherfuckers like it's nobody's business. But in reality, I can really see that this turning out like the Jets-Cowboys game from last year.
Cowboy fans are not going to go to work on Monday.
I'm going to pick the Cowboys to win this game, but I'm not happy about it, okay?
Fuck. The Giants are just so bad. Fuck.
And they're bad at everything.
But then, but now it's they're taking on a team that just gave up 50 to the Browns.
A team that's all offense and no defense. I know. They're missing 8 starters on offense. On defense. I know. But somehow, remember we talked about.
You know what? I'm here for the chaos theory. The New York Giants will beat the Dallas Cowboys and fuck up this whole division.
Oh my God.
With the possibility of a tie.
He said Daniel Jones about to go for a 500 and some change. He said he's going to do a shoot. He's going to go for a shootout. Oh, no.
Beckham damn near went for 500 and some change last week. And he's a wide receiver.
Somebody asked me if the Browns were for real. I said, yeah, really lucky.
I love our segues because now we have Philip Rivers in his resurgence in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Taking on these 3-1 Cleveland Browns.
Well, aren't the Indianapolis is 2-2 or 3-1?
Yeah, 3-1 also.
I didn't see this coming.
Right? Neither one of us. Well, we jumped on the Browns bandwagon as usual, but.
And then we jumped quickly off that motherfucker at the beginning of the season.
Right after week one, and here they go. They just tear. And we unfairly did that to Cleveland because they played Baltimore. Yeah. We're like, yeah, this is going to be the same old trash team. But yeah, here they are. 3-1.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I still don't know who Philip Rivers is throwing it to. I guess that's my problem.
He's throwing it to his inner child. He's throwing it to one of his 17 children that where every once was conceived during all of his off seasons. Okay.
All right, fair enough. Fine. Okay, so let me put it to you this way. I'll be nice. Ready for this? I think that the Browns win this game only because they're on a roll.
But you can say the same thing about the Colts.
No, I don't trust Philip Rivers. I don't trust Baker Mayfield either. But I trust Nick Chubb.
Remember, Nick Chubb hurt his leg last week.
Oh, shit. Well, I trust Kareem Hunt.
I trust Kareem Hunt. I trust Odell Beckham. I trust fucking the other offensive weapon, Jarvis Landry. Oh, what'd you say? Prediction, Brown is by 10, Philip Rivers yells at Oh, I got to say it. I told John this joke. I told John about this and last week. Philip Rivers, he did the daddest trash talking of all time last week. You know what he did?
What?
He was on the sideline. He's like, 97! Hey, 97! You're a fatty!
The fuck? Why?
He's a defensive lineman. Yes, he's a fatty. That was the daddest insult I've heard in the NFL ever.
He's like, he's a fatty. Fuck you! No, fuck you, guy!
You're a fatty! You're fat!
Fat guy who's fat. Oh my God. This is fucking Philip Rivers, guys.
Philip Rivers. So we're both taking the Browns here. You can get John's comment off the thing.
Maybe I don't want to. Maybe I want to hold this. I want him to hold this just in case.
Okay.
Philip Rivers doesn't. No, I'm just playing. Let's go.
That's fine. Dude, you can have him sit there all night. I don't give a shit. Next up, we have a team that beat. 0-4 team because they were 0-3, so they are now 1-3, taking on a team that is undefeated. That is the Minnesota Vikings. This is supposed to be a marquee matchup this year. The Minnesota Vikings at the Seattle Seahawks.
It's very simple. Minnesota's passing defense is trash.
And Russell Wilson is going to go the fuck off.
Russell Wilson might just go for 600. What's his name? DK Metcalf might just go for 200. His other receiver, it might just go for another 200.
Tyler Lockett's going to get all the first downs because that's what he does.
Jacob Hollister might go for another 200. Tight end might go for 100. Running backs might go for another 100. It's just, listen.
It's almost like this Vikings team watched week one, Green Bay. It was like, yeah, we're not going to be able to keep up with them.
Nope. I mean, why would you not extend Stephon Diggs? Why? Why?
No, we're going to trade him to Buffalo for 3 first-round picks. But hold on. That's not over the, that's over the next, like, 4 years. And Stephon Diggs is putting in work in Buffalo.
Yeah. Stephon Diggs is going to be there for at least about 7 or 8 and make it worth their while. Shit. I cannot in my heart of hearts take Minnesota to win this game. Sorry, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I know you and John both hate the Seahawks, and for good reason.
Yeah,
but I'm agreeing with you here. Minnesota is not the team they were last year.
Nope.
As a matter of fact, I think last year was a facsimile, just like some other teams that made the playoffs last year was a possibility.
I don't even know what type of team they are this year. They're trying to say they're the same with the team last year. Fuck.
Dalvin Cook was the only consistent has been the only consistent thing about this team this year.
Yeah, that's it. That is it. And that's even pushing it.
So that's our Sunday lineup. We have 2 games on Monday, 1 game on Tuesday.
Oh Lord Jesus.
2020.
What the fuck?
If this ain't the most 2020 thing of the year, so on Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, yeah. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Brandon Ripien and the Denver Broncos taking on Jared Stidham and the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Yikes.
The game is going to have to come and shine this week.
Yeah, because Jared Stidham just might throw this game away if he doesn't. I mean,
okay, I wasn't there to defend Mr. Stidham last week. Brian Hoyer is the reason they lost that game against the Chiefs and the bad officiating. Jared Stidham did what young quarterbacks do. They take chances and threw 2 picks. The first pick, Julian Edelman. Edelman, for some reason, dropped 2 wide-open passes. Luckily, the first one was picked up by Gunnar Osowski. And it wasn't picked off, but the second one was picked off.
Yeah.
The throw he made to N'Keal Harry is the type of throws that Jared Stidham can make, but he just needs to have that confidence. And Denver's defense is not good.
No, not as good as they've been over previous years. They're lacking the talent. They're lacking the intensity, the fierceness that they had previously, which might just open up the doors for New England to come in and actually win this game. Because, again, I don't think that their defense is good enough. The Denver's defense is good enough to keep him in this game. I think the Patriots' defense is very good enough to win this game by itself.
Yeah, because Jason, with Stephon Gilmore being out, that means Jason McCourty takes over to CB1.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be going up against Drury.
Yeah, yeah, he might just end up schooling the young buck.
And you have McCourty over the top. So
yeah, I'm taking the Patriots in this one.
Yeah, I got the Pats, of course. Next up, we're not even going to talk that much about the game because we like to talk about the quarterbacks, and this quarterback matchup is not a fun one. Cam Newton, we were hoping to have him back for this game, but he didn't get – he got cleared, but not in time to make the practice reps needed for this game.
Yeah, it's very true. So, very true.
Cam will be back next week. So, and hopefully Gilmore will be back next week too because he's asymptomatic just like Cam.
Yeah.
So, next up we have – So how would you feel if a doctor cost you your starting job?
Oh, I would be pissed off. I guess my name would be Tyrod Taylor at that point.
Yes. We have Herbert in the Chargers taking on 2 weeks in a row now. He is taking on one of the elderly quarterbacks, Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints.
Yes. Michael Thomas is still out, right?
He has been upgraded to questionable. So that means he might play.
If Michael Thomas plays, there's no question in New Orleans blood. New Orleans is at home?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I got to take New Orleans. There ain't no way the Chargers win in this game.
No, I think the Chargers put up a spirited fight, but they lose the end.
John says Tyrod got that Pulp Fiction treatment.
He sure did. Yeah. He sure the fuck did. All right, and now for the last game of the week on Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yes. We have the Buffalo Bills, the undefeated Bills, at the undefeated Titans.
The Titans, I know they've been itching to get back on the field, but the Titans have been the cause of all this COVID problems that we've 23 had.
23 confirmed cases. If it wasn't Mike Vrabel, I'd say fire the coach. But
yeah, you can fire the GM and the freaking staff. It's supposed to be making sure of this shit. Tennessee, I don't know. If they have all these players out, then I don't think Tennessee's winning this game.
No, Buffalo is a buzzsaw right now.
Yeah.
Josh Allen is playing quarterback very well. He's no longer a running back that can throw the ball. He is now a quarterback that can run.
No, I agree.
We got to say the name. It's got to catch on. Michael Vick, ladies and gentlemen.
See, the Titans were, I would say, the only team at full strength that could keep up with Buffalo, but they're nowhere near full strength. Nowhere near. Buffalo's got this game, hands down.
I think it's going to be a good game.
It may be, but I still think Buffalo got this one.
But not only that, Tennessee's going to be super rusty because they haven't been able to return to their facility in 3 weeks.
Yeah, which is horrible.
And Hollywood's over there falling asleep, so.
I'm not falling asleep.
Uh-huh.
No, I am not.
I got the Buffalo Bills in this one, and that just so happens to be the last game of the thing. So you can go take your nap, sir. You can go to bed.
I don't want to take a nap. But before we go out of here, Big Sin, is there anything that you'd like to tell the news media and the people out there that love us and desire us so much?
I think desire is a strong word. But if you're over on YouTube, go ahead, like, comment, and subscribe. Hit that bell so you know when we're live every week. And you get those Sinful Black Reacts videos that people be loving.
Yes.
If you're over on Facebook, you know, we love y'all here on the sports channel. Go ahead, like, follow, let everybody know. That man right there does the highlights, even though he hasn't done any of the highlights for the NBA Finals.
No, because there's a reason why, because there's been music in the NBA Finals that I'm not trying to get us banned again for another 10 days. So fuck that.
I know, I'm fucking with you.
But NFL highlights will be up as soon as the games are done. Tomorrow, as they go along, we got a little schedule on that one. So
this time it's got Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday to cover NFL highlights.
Yes, oh my God. It's like a part-time job.
Anyway, my name is Big Sin. That there is Hollywood J to the Blitzak. We would like to thank you all for joining us, and we are out of this bitch.
Deuces.
Bye!